Welcome to the My Name is Human Earth2.io podcast brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. I am Human Hazy.
I am Human Kangi.
And I am Human Snoke.
Hello, Dashi! And we do have the real Randy Chavez with us today. Welcome to the podcast, Randy. It's great to have you on.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Glad to see y'all here. For everyone else at home, if you're new, welcome. If not, welcome back. I love you all. What's going on, guys?
That's so sweet, and we like to see Dashi in the background. That's right. So, Randy, we know a lot about you, having watched your YouTube videos, having watched your streams, seeing you around on Twitter and Discord, even though I think you're mainly a YouTube guy. You don't go on the Discord that much. You don't go on Twitter that much. But obviously, your personality in the Earth2 space. Tell us how you found out about Earth2 and kind of what got you beginning to make content specific to Earth2.
Yeah, sure. It was December of 2020, and I was coming back from my girlfriend's place. We lived in Brooklyn, or she still lives in Brooklyn. I was living on the southern part of Long Island at the time, and I get a notification on my phone that Aria Realty had uploaded a new video, and I had subscribed to him months back. We're good friends that we had served together back in the day, and I was like, oh, like, and normally it was finance, like how to get your credit up, how to credit card turn, and just get free money from these types of things. And so I was like, oh, what is this? And I see Earth2. I was like, oh, this is interesting. And when he gives me, at the first few minutes of the video, I was like, well, I see like getting kickbacks on like referral codes. And it's like, kind of sounds like a little bit of a scam. I give him a call. Maybe he doesn't like see it. And he's like, no, I literally looked into these guys like for dozens of hours, and I can't find anything negative about them. They all have really good history. And I was like, okay. So I go home, and my dumb butt decides, he says you could buy 750 tiles. So I thought each person was limited to 750 tiles. So I buy like 400 tiles in India and like 351 in Brazil. Like, I accidentally did like, you know, 751, does that matter? It's like, no, like, you can buy 750 tiles each time. And I was like, so that night, and a couple hundred dollars might not seem like a lot now, but...
But at 10 cents a tile, it is.
Yeah, like, Brazil and India are like 11 and 10 cents a tile. I was like, oh
I hate you. So what got you into starting content for Earth2?
I was... In March of 2020, I started doing videos daily for Pokemon sales data, Tesla. I have like a podcast.
Okay, so you had something going already.
Yeah, and it wasn't a lot. It was a couple hundred subscribers. And this was a big gamer, obviously, because, you know, Pokemon channel. And I think like, okay, well, if this is a game, like something in which we wanted an MMORPG for Pokemon like forever. Like, we wanted something like this. Like, okay, well, if you could make anything in this game, there's no reason why we can't just have a character named Pikachu, give a certain stats, character. And I was like, well, a lot of my subscribers really like to hear this. And lo and behold, I was one of the first ones to make a video. And people started flooding to me. And I was like, oh, wow. I guess I have my responsibility in this is to, you know, see where this goes and let people know, you know, again, open transparency. And that's how it happened.
So what made you transition from doing videos every day to streaming live on YouTube?
So people had wanted me to live stream for a while, which I had to wait until you had to be partnered with YouTube. You had to have like 1,000 subscribers and you had to have like a few thousand watched hours. And I was so used to making like, you know, 3-4 videos a day that I had never thought. I got so used to doing that. And the first time I actually did live stream, a guy named Chachito, who likes to call me his dad, and he's my son. he sent me a video of Logan Paul saying, yeah, I'm in Earth 2. And I was like, oh, so this is a perfect time. It was like 12:30 at night. It was midnight. And I go live. And at the time, I didn't have a lot of battery left on my phone. So I go into the corner where I had another charger. And then this guy named Skip Yellow said, like, where are your super chats? Let daddy take care of you. And I was like,
what's a super chat?
So, like, after I end the stream, I Google it. And I think, like, oh, it's another way to make money, monetization. Oh. Okay. And then the next time I went live, it's like, oh, $5, $10. I was like, oh, like, people are. So then I figured instead of making 4 videos a day, making like $15, $20 a day, and I'm averaging like, you know, like $40 a stream because of super chats, and I stream twice a day, that it's just much more efficient to do it that way.
Right. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about how you, or I should say, why you committed specifically to Earth 2. So you mentioned already, you know, Aria Realty being a huge reason that you jumped into Earth 2. But what are some of the other reasons that you've invested in Earth 2 compared to some of the other metaverses out there?
Yeah, sure. There's quite a few of them.
Decentraland, maybe.
Yeah, Decentraland, My Neighbor Alice, a bunch of these places. And one of the things that I saw is, like, okay, well, I'm very, very early to this game. There's not a lot of people here, and the potential for it to take off for mass adoption was very real. I thought it was very, very high, and it still is. As time goes on, my confirmation, like, my enthusiasm in this game just grows. So I knew that there was something there when I was just talking about the potential of these things, and you know, you start getting haters, and it's like, okay, well, how do you know you're going the right way in a video game? It's when you encounter enemies along the way. So it's like, okay,
well then R2 is definitely going in the right direction.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, there's something here, and the potential, it was making me like hopeful, but not that I was like ever like distraught that I just had no hope in my body, but it was making me think towards the future again. It's making me think about like science and technology, and just getting, it wasn't just about money. Like, it's great the fact that I think that the money that we're putting in can 100x from here, but just the fact that we're able to play certain games like in the Warring World, like with Pokemon, like if this is something that we can do what we wanted with Pokemon for forever, an MMORPG, and we can do that with this game, there's no reason we can't have a little yellow animal and name it Pikachu and have it by our side. And that in conjunction with the fact that, you know, Decentraland and Roblox and Minecraft, all these other places, even stuff with crypto, like My Neighbor Alice, the graphics look like they're maybe flash animation. You know, they're okay. They're nice to look at. And I'm one that continuously still plays old school video games just for the story. But I have a lot of friends that won't play a video game unless it has really good graphics. And
right.
If you guys have seen on the trailer, you know, better than Red Dead Redemption 2, it's like, okay, well, that's going to get the more uppity people on board. So this, it just has all of the makings of a really good game with mass adoption. I think it'd be very good success.
So I want to ask you now, I know you're excited about the gameplay itself, and that's awesome because I am too, but like, does blockchain or cryptocurrency or any of that, is that a must have for like your interest in the project? Like if they had that installed, is that a must have for this project for you?
I think for long-term success, yes. If just for short term, it probably wouldn't matter because people are going to play anyway. But just because of how the precedent has been set, like I said, My Neighbor Alice and Decentraland, they have had cryptos that started out here and they go up here and they stay there. It's not one of these poop coins like Beeb or Sheeb coin that goes up and then goes back down. There's an economy attached to it. There's a bunch of people that are playing that are emotionally invested as well as financially. And if they're going to want to be a big player long term, they're going to need something like that, at which they've hinted at greatly. So,
he even confirmed it in the last announcement.
Yep.
That there was going to be blockchain.
Yes, so, and blockchain doesn't necessarily mean it would be on a crypto though.
Crypto, right.
But yes, that's what I mean when they strongly hint, and it just reaffirms my opinion in that.
So I do have some breaking news. No Go Chain. Mm-hmm.
No GoChain.
It's not going to be GoChain. I'm 100% positive of that now. But I don't think that's a shock to anyone that's been following R2 for the last month. That's kind of been hinted at and rumored, but I do have confirmation on that. What I do want to ask you, Randy, is what in-game elements do you want to see the most, both in Phase 2 and then in Phase 3?
I'll start with Phase 2 first. Phase 2, I'm really excited to see not just the mining of resources, but I do want to see the actual in-game marketplace where people like me can just are using all the resources to build my mega city, Chavistopia, where I can get more either from the in-game marketplace that Earth 2 has or on the secondary market where people like, listen, I'm not sure what I want to build yet, but I have all these tiles. I'm not using a lot of it. Instead of being, let's say, 10 cents per resource, they're going to sell it to me at 5 cents a resource. I would really love to see that. And that's where I think the economy will thrive. And that's where I'll buy as much as I can.
Yeah. For me, it's the in-game builder, being able to build stuff.
Yeah,
and I think they're gonna kind of increment it in. I think we're gonna get resource generation first, being able to mine the resources second, and then the third step will be, okay, you can now use these resources to build things. Kanga, you agree? Is that kind of how you see it laying out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that matches the roadmap I have in my mind. I try not to get too ahead of myself with that, but but yeah, that's sort of what I anticipate. But okay. we're talking about,
Let's get into the space 3 thoughts first before we move on.
Yeah, that's a good point. Randy, what are your things that you, or excuse me, what are elements that you really want to be able to see in Phase 3? You've mentioned sort of these RPG Pokemon related elements. Are there some other things that you'd like to be able to do in the metaverse once we actually get to that stage?
Yes, I would definitely, two things. I definitely want to see what people are creating as far as buildings and final creations, because that by itself gives me almost unlimited content, because you have, let's say, 100,000 people minimum each building things. They're all going to be unique. They're all going to be really cool. And right. The other thing I would want is in Generation 2 of Pokemon and from Fire Emblem Awakening and beyond, you were able to have breeding. And this one matches with this one, and they get what both parents have, which is very, very cool. And I would want that in Phase 3, if we do have animals and be able to breed in there. And I would like to think that each animal you could bring into the Warring World, or they could have something added value to your land. Like, oh, this one gives you a different resource, and this one gives you a better resource if you breed it with this one. So I would like to see some breeding mechanics in there as well.
So this wasn't scripted, but I'm curious what you think about the Warring World. When you have two nations, two megacities battling each other, what should the consequences be of the victor and the loser of those battles? How do you see that playing out? Is it something that the parties have to agree to ahead of time? I think that's how I would approach it, but how do you see it going?
There will probably be just a general rule set, and if you want to be a part of the Warring World, you agree to that general rule set. And if you like, maybe not at this time. And they've even said, if you don't want to be a parting world, you part of that Warring World, you can turn it off.
Oh yeah. Kangy and I are full opt out.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to watch like a Fast and Furious pink slip scenario in PvP where you got tiles on the line, but I would like to be in the stands.
Yes.
Drinking like a booze slushy after having spent the afternoon with Hazy at the blackjack table. Like that's more what I'm looking to do in game.
Hey, we can bet it. We can bet on it.
Yeah. See? Yes. Now you're speaking my language, right? A third party trying to profit off of other people's woes.
Yeah, even if there is no actual betting in there, although, again, you've had different types of gambling in Neopets and Pokemon, and even some in the earlier Fire Emblem games, I see no reason why they can't have some form in here. But even if they don't, people, you can be damn sure people are going on PayPal, be like, oh, Venmo, you can cash out.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Discord private chat. Yeah.
Or even properties of similar value you can wager. Well, agree that these are equal.
someone like Walker is going to make a Earth2Bets.com. Or no, there already is an Earth2Bets.com. They'll make an Earth2Bets site where you can go place your wagers off-site.
Yeah, okay. I would definitely love Facebook groups about that. And I would definitely love other things as far as not just tiles. But maybe I was like, at, like, let me get a piece of
resources,
you know, like 2% of your ad revenue, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. That would be interesting. I might do like one area, but I'm not going to risk like all my tiles. I might do like a small area.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Dip your toes in a little bit.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about things that we're optimistic about and things that we want to see. And I think that we're all on a similar train, or similar train of thought as far as our optimism is concerned. But with a lot of the videos that have come out in the last couple of weeks, I do think that we should talk a little bit about potential obstacles that we see in the, you know, in the immediate future for Earth 2, as well as, you know, so sort of those more distant obstacles like phase 3. So Randy, I wanted to ask you, starting with, you know, kind of this month to the next 6 months, what are some of the more immediate obstacles and issues that you see for Earth 2?
Something that I think they've already corrected in one of Nathaniel's or Wolfgang's recent updates is that if they continuously want to set hard dates and then something comes up so that where they can't meet it, short term, that can be very bad for them. But again, even recently they said, we're not going to give you a hard date. And even one of Shane's updates saying that some updates, they won't even be announced. They're just going to be uploaded. And if you're lucky enough to be playing at that time, you can experience it first.
Yeah, and look what happened when Nathaniel gave a hard date. I'm going to release this video this week. He was literally like 6 hours late and people rioted.
Yep.
Yeah.
So hard dates are a bad thing. Just give expectations, release it when you can.
Yeah, agreed 100%.
Yeah, and I think that one thing that this was always going to be the case, but we're seeing some retention issues with some early adopters, some people that, you know, want to get out, and that's absolutely understandable. There's a lot of folks that have turned a profit, but I personally think that that's going to be one thing, is keeping some of those early investors engaged, because I think a lot of those early investors are, you know, they're big parts of a lot of these mega cities or guilds, and losing them, it can be hard to fill those shoes because some of those early adopters fill multiple roles.
Well, and Shane actually mentioned it, tweeted that how he wanted to kind of give like a special something to those people that have been here in the early stages of this game. So I wonder what that could be. Or
yeah, you know. And Nameless argues that us being here early is reward enough. But what's your take on that, Randy?
I think we already do have a very good standing. And they've mentioned before, like very early, that if you have, let's say, a large plot of tiles that are untouched, meaning that you haven't separated them or sold off part of them, which you're going to be able to do eventually, that you'll get a bigger bonus for that, whether it's an event in a warring world or that maybe you're getting a certain item or more resource spawn. So that's something I'd really like to see as well. But I don't want anything crazy because, like Nameless said, some people have multiple accounts and maybe that's not fair. But as long as people keep making content, like you guys and me and Bowl Combo and Guidebook Game, like everyone keeps making content on the regular, I think we'll be fine.
So we talk about content. One of the things that Earth2's talked a lot about recently, and we've heard rumors of the team growing, and we saw K-Diz and Miss T join the team as community managers, helping Thomas out with the moderation, which was a good step. And I saw Nathaniel today say the team was almost at 50 people. So they're scaling up the team pretty quickly. And hopefully they're bringing in quality employees. And I have a feeling they might be bringing some more people in soon. Just a hunch. What do you think, Randy, that they need to focus their employee resources on? Who do they need to hire? What do they need to hire?
I would have one or two people specifically watch every single piece of content and look at all the comments and just be in the Discord 24/7. I think they've done a fairly good job already, being similar to like Elon Musk, when people tweet at him and they say, hey, can we have this update feature with the seatbelt or something like that? And says, yeah, sure. And he listens to that. And they've done a fairly good job already, but there's so few of them and they all are probably extraordinarily overworked, which is also why I invested them as well. You know, bet on the horse or bet on the jockey. These guys are killing themselves making the game. So I'm betting on them, the developers. But if they have just a couple of people, one or two dedicated to consuming all the content and they can tell which pieces of advice or which complaints are relevant versus which are just like people being impatient. I think that would help them a lot.
Oh, that almost sounds like a public relations person.
Yeah.
It's definitely I think that's a great idea, Randy, because it would at least expose them. And who knows, maybe they do have folks kind of lurking and seeing what the consistent feedback is, what's working, what's not. Because to your point, if you're in the Discord just for 5 or 10 minutes, you're potentially going to see a snapshot of complaints that's not very accurate. It's mostly just griping. But if you're looking at all this content repeatedly and seeing these comments day in, day out, you're going to see those patterns and be able to identify what your real like pain points are.
And I do think they actually watched some of that content because they knew who those people were when they came into the Discord. And Shane even stayed extra time to personally engage that person. So I think they do know about the content. They do watch it or have someone watch it and report it back. So I think that someone is doing that. I don't know who, but I think there's someone, or maybe they just all sit together and have a little campfire and sing kumbaya. Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but I think they are aware of these videos. And for example, today, Nathaniel specifically called out Big Fry and asked him specifically, why do you think we can't do this, but you think such and such can do it? And he challenged Big Fry. He's like, we can do this. I know what I'm doing. And I love seeing that from Nathaniel.
Oh, yeah.
That fired me up.
Well, you know, it's like I've seen comments about like how this is impossible and stuff. And it's the same thing way back in the day when we first started, like with Thomas Edison, when he first created the light bulb, you know, people were saying that's impossible and look what he did. And that happened all throughout history. I mean, and they were people that were, you know, they weren't big corporations or anything. It was a team of people. So
yeah,
it's, you know, you got to see past the impossible for anything to come
right
up.
And I think the problem with that Earth 2 did was, they gave the image that this might be possible in the immediate future when that wasn't really what they were trying to say. They were just saying, this is our broad vision.
Right.
Would you not agree with that, Randy? Is that how you see Earth 2? It's not something that's going to happen in the next 2 to 3 years, but maybe in the next decade.
I mean, it depends on like the actual Ready Player One, like that. Yeah, that'll probably be towards the end of the decade, but the gameplay that'll come very, very shortly, a lot sooner than we think. And outside of that, I like that we're getting in pieces. We're going to get, okay, here's part of phase two, the rest of phase two.
Right, increments.
Yeah, and this way we could grow, you know, slowly but steadily. Where if we grow again, let's say we have now 5 million users instead of, you know, a couple hundred thousand, or even if we just 10x, it's going to be a bit of an issue for the servers. So I'd like to see them grow steadily.
So that kind of brings us into, like, long-term issues. You know, as you said, you know, this is a game that's meant to be, you know, 10 years down the road, decade down the road, where the Ready Player One aspect might eventually come. But what are some of the other longer-term issues that we might see? I think one, for example, is as the industry grows, we're going to have regulatory oversight. What do you think, Kingy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's naturally going to come in. There's too much money entering the space, I think, for there to not eventually be some oversight. But that said, I mean, Randy knows this even better than I do, that, you know, it seems like every month there's rumors that another nation, United States included, is going to ban crypto entirely, you know, and then those rumors tend to blow over. In some cases, there may actually be some regulatory, you know, fire where that smoke is, but for the most part, it doesn't actually happen. But I do think it will eventually occur. There's just too much money. They're going to at least want their piece for taxation reasons.
Yeah,
so I think, you know, defining the terms under which regulatory oversight starts is important, which is why, you know, with some of the scam videos, I push back at those, because oversight's not a bad thing. I work in that industry. It's the very reason I have a job. I think it's very important for consumer protection. But you don't want oversight to begin from an assumption of a scam.
Right.
Right. And right now there's a gray area as far as digital assets go. The SEC doesn't regulate it. It's obviously something on their radar, though. And it's something I think that we have to be concerned about. So as someone who is not a financial advisor and is not providing financial advice, Randy, tell us your thoughts.
I think will still have several years of the Wild Wild West,
yep,
whereas
I agree.
They still view it as property. And again, it's taking them this long just to have a will they or won't they on crypto, but they can sense that, or at least Bitcoin is just the future. It's digital gold. It's something that all these giant companies, which are way ahead of the government, are putting on their balance sheets, like Chavez Trading Company and Chavez Cantil Project. We're doing that as well. And this, I can't wait to be one of the first companies to have whatever the Earth 2 crypto is on their balance sheets. So that'd be really cool. And outside of that, we're just talking about, again, still it being property. It could be just because it's virtual real estate doesn't mean that you don't own it. I would say this would be an alternative asset, not like a car that depreciates and is driving off a lot. I would say it's something similar to Pokemon cards or, again, anything that you have these people going on CNBC saying we want to make a virtual real estate ETF. That's very big. So they can tell which way
the money. We know those people.
Yeah.
So we actually had them on the podcast, right? I don't know if you ever listened to that one.
Oh, I have not. How was it? It was good.
It was amazing. So we had Jawad Khan, who is works for Janine Yorio of Republic Real Estate, on the podcast. And we went probably our best podcast. I'm not going to lie. It was a great podcast. I recommend you go back and listen to it when you have time.
Yeah, definitely. Link me that when we're done.
Yeah. So as the industry grows, and this is what something Bull Combo talked about today, his big concern is that Earth 2 is going to be too patient and the competition is going to pass us. And I mean, there's already competition in the form of like Decentraland and Sandbox, and they already have an established platform. My argument with Combo was, yeah, but they weren't doing a whole replica of Earth. I mean, they're doing little parcels of pixelated land. To me, that's why I was fascinated by Earth 2, is it's the replication of the Earth. And so, but I do think, and I've argued this before, that Earth 2 can't afford to be patient, because they might be able to pass Decentraland and Sandbox, I think, following the vision they're following. But what's going to stop someone like Epic coming in and creating something much faster and much better than what Earth 2 has put out in their first year? So what's your thoughts on that?
I think they'll try. I know Epic was the company, I think they put out like a $1 billion. They said like, hey, we want to make a metaverse. I don't know if publicly nobody bit on that, saying like, yeah, we want to join forces. Privately, there probably are some moves being made. I think one of the only companies that would have the ability to do so and are trying to do it right now would really be Facebook. But even them, I don't see them coming out with the graphics as beautiful as this. I see them doing something like one of their Facebook games, like Everwing, similar to like Decentraland or something like that, where, again, they'll be great in that space. But it's hard to, or Earth 2 is pretty much sprinting, and all the other companies are other companies first, and this would just be a subdivision of that company. And
I liked what Nathaniel had to say about that. He said, those big corporations, they have thousands of meetings, thousands of conflicts between this team and this team and this team battling. He's like, we don't have that problem. We know what we're working on and we work hard at it. So we can accomplish a lot more with our small team than a team of 500 people ever could.
Yeah, there's a lot of red tape other companies have to go through. There's a lot of meetings that, again, this is why I think we'll still have the Wild Wild West for several years, because the corporations are ahead of the government. Corporations still, if something happens in a year, it's lightning quick. Whereas the government, on top of that, they have to worry about election cycles. They have to worry about favors being cashed in. And this is something where I think we're still in the good graces of the developer gods.
Yeah, and when people talk about like blockchain and DeFi, I think that one of the reasons that they're excited about that potentially being a part of Earth 2 is that it gives people an opportunity to profit off of Earth 2 in different ways. Whereas Epic Games, Facebook, like, regardless of the product and how much it delivers, they're going to be taking that money. Like, there's not going to be as much opportunity for Randy Chavez or for Hazy to make money off of the game in the same way I think that Earth 2 might allow.
That's a true statement.
Yeah, I also see other games. I feel like they have a lower age of, or a lower demographic, whereas a lot of people I see in Earth 2, they're in their late 20s, early 30s, and beyond. Like, I have a couple of subscribers that are in their early 20s or late
30s. The majority of our podcast audience is 30 up.
Yeah. So I see that being a, you know, we have a lot of the old, you know, big people jobs and a lot of, or, you know,
people that have money.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's a fair statement.
So, Randy, the last 2 weeks have been very interesting in the Earth 2 realm. You're good friends with Arya. He's been at the center of some of this. So let's talk a little bit. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we talked about it ad nauseum. And like I said in my last time, I just want people to treat people with respect and humanity. And you know what? At the end of the day, we get to make our decisions. But the fact of the matter is these scam videos, these Earth 2 is a Ponzi, these videos aren't going to go anyway, anytime soon, because they're getting clicks, they're getting views, they're generating buzz. And when YouTubers have that kind of thing going, they just, it's like a pack of hyenas. They just go full force. So kind of tell us your viewpoint on this as one of the most, highest subscribers of Earth 2 content creators. What have you seen and how do you react to it?
Sure. I've seen that the genius of Arya Realty baiting all of these guys that have 200, 400, you know, 8 million subscribers. And what he does, it's very similar to what Donald Trump did in the 2016 election cycle, just going after everyone, making sure all the highlight reels are on him. And he sent me a screenshot of his revenue before, where last month it was, you know, like this, and this month it's like this.
Oh, I knew what he was doing.
Right.
So I've been taking a page out of his playbook, and I've been most times up until recently, it was just like, hey, you know, it seems like he had a rough day, and I hope at least part of my content can make it better. I know we disagree on a lot of things right now, but I'll answer any questions you have. And now, as long as there's comments on my video and they're saying, like, you're promoting a scam, you're doing this, and I'll just go after one thing. I'm like, but it isn't, though. Like, what do you mean? And I'll just do that all day because, again, retired, I don't have a job, and they'll just keep commenting on my videos. It means more comments for the YouTube algorithm. So essentially just a little bit of trolling, but I would like to probably leave that to Arya. But for the most part, with us being that Sikh, you can't really say anything that is going to hurt us.
Yeah, I mean, they've relatively left us alone, except for the Why Earth 2 is Not a Scam video. They did come after us pretty hard for that one. Yeah. But that's really the only one they touched us on. I'm sure they might come on this one a little bit, though. I have a feeling.
Yeah, but yeah. Possibly. Probably just because I'm attached. And
exactly.
And it's possible. I mean, ultimately, though, and we've talked about this a bit, the only thing that's going to, you know, prove one side versus the other is the product that's ultimately that they ultimately put out there. So until then, it's, you know, a lot of speculation and folks generating content, and, you know, one side will end up showing their ass pretty thoroughly. Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, ultimately the only thing that's going to prove, you know, either us correct or the scam videos correct is the product that we get out of, you know, Shane and Nathaniel and Wolfgang and everybody. So until then, it'll be a lot of fun back and forth and plenty of content to create, but
right,
nobody's going to be able to prove that they're right for
and
years.
Right now, they have the massive edge in numbers, but you know what? All that's doing, I mean, they've said, you know, the same, no such thing as bad publicity. And I don't fully agree with that statement. It does bring more eyes onto Earth 2, but it does put more pressure on Earth 2 to answer those skeptics and critics. And I think, like we talked about earlier this week, that they are doing this with that way more present in the Discord, especially Nathaniel. Nathaniel's just taking on, look, I know what I'm doing, deal with it.
I love how he's been so active.
Yeah. And that brings a lot of faith in the people that have been there a while, seeing Nathaniel talking that way and kind of showing his prowess as a developer to those, and they'll just, they continue to doubt him. That, like, he'll explain what he's doing and be like, oh yeah, but I could do it better in 5 minutes. Nathaniel's like, do it.
We've been hearing stuff like that in the Discord since January. It's just now coming from a newer demographic, and it's coming in June instead of back then.
You know,
we've seen it before,
right? And talking about Nathaniel, you know, he actually created a new video, and they posted on YouTube. It's a buggy driving around on Nathaniel's terrain, doing jumps, drifting, driving on a paved road, hitting other buggies, flipping, rolling over. You know, honestly, like at first, I was like, I was excited to see it because it's something new. Of course, we're all excited to see it. But one thing I didn't like is when when he did a jump, it like slowed the camera. I didn't like that.
He did that on purpose.
I did see that in the chat later, so I understand why. But I do like how if you notice in the video, he actually like you can change the screen and you can still drive around the buggy with the screen in one place. I did enjoy that. That way you can get some like cool shots in or whatever you're trying to do with it. Hazy, what do you think of that video?
So a couple things. Right after, a lot of people jumped in. You know, the critics, they jumped in right away. Oh, that's using a Unity asset. And the physics are a Unity asset. And Nathaniel's like, yes, it was a Unity asset. Yes, the buggy physics are a Unity asset. That's not what we were showing. We were showing the terrain physics, showing how the buggy will impact the dirt and impact the rocks, showing how the things move. The terrain, not the buggy. But the people were still, someone had the nerve to bring up a meadow, a picture of grass and flowers and saying Nathaniel took that asset. And it was, he can't win. They're always going to question him until the final product is out there. So Randy, what do you think about the video? What were your thoughts?
So I was live streaming when the video had dropped. It was like a half hour in. And so then I get like a couple of super chats and like a bunch of comments, like the video dropped. I was like, what do I do? And I was like, all right, well, and there was like 60 people watching. Like, all right, so go like leave and I'll keep going here. I'll keep answering these questions. And then, you know, come back and let me know how it was. And by the time I was caught up with the comments, everyone was like, I think this guy named Raythax is a big supporter of mine. He just said like, it seems like they had a few daddy sodas while driving. Because they were going everywhere. They were flipping the car over. He hit another car. I thought it looked great. I left a comment on there. I was like, I can't wait to play bumper cars with everyone. Because that it seems so much fun.
Even if that's a playable element by the end of this year, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'll be great.
Doing racing, everything.
Or just exploring the world, driving around.
Yeah, there's a video I saw. Maybe it was Midnight Club or... I forget what video game it was, but they were all in cars and they were basically playing tag with the cars. Like, okay, now you're it. And now you're it. And there's so many things you can do with that. King of the Hill. You could have tag, you could have
races
and racing until you're closest to get to the edge without falling off. Or see how much air you can get, how far in the lake you can get.
Distance jump. I mean, there's a million things you can do.
Yeah, and that's just with a car. That's with a car, no avatar. Right. I mentioned one of my videos, and remember the game Burnout, seeing how much damage you could cause with one crash. And that would be really fun.
So, Kangi, what were your thoughts on the video?
I mean, I was excited to see them. Excited to see something that showed us the terrain in action a bit more than seeing the couple of videos so far, whether it's the Easter egg hunt or the actual, you know, initial sort of terrain reveal. So I'm definitely excited. I don't know that it did anything to adjust my faith in the project one way or the other. And I doubt that it did much to, you know, change. I mean, based on your reaction, Hazy, or your response, it sounds like the haters are still the haters, right?
For
the most part, those that are believers in the project are still in that camp. But I do think that that's absolutely been one positive thing that's happened from the videos that have been critical, is getting a little bit more participation from the devs and a little bit more content from them. So that's, you know, I think that's an A+ net positive for sure.
All right. Time for the fun time of the show. 10 questions with Randy.
All right. Ready.
So Snoke, I'm going to take number three or number two, since you didn't want to do that one, and you can take mine.
All right.
And Randy, don't take offense to this. This is a user question. None of us came up with it. Someone tweeted it. So I'm asking it. Why do you have a statue of a kangaroo named Dashie?
it, It was 2017. I was showing my friend Lilith, who came from Austria, around New York City, and we went to this place called Lloyd's. I was just looking in the window, and I saw it. It was similar to a video I saw with like Michael Jackson going into one of those overpriced, value things with like a $10,000 chess set and a $30,000 chandelier. And Michael Jackson's like, "I'll take this and that. Do you have that in beige? I mean, it doesn't matter. I'll take all of them." And can we go in there? And I was like, "Well, we can't sneeze in here. Like, we can't." Everything was like 10 grand and above. And I saw this dog statue and two others. And the guy said, the place was, they, after people die, they buy their estates and then they just resell it. So he said this artist had died. One of their other dogs was in the UK and the other three remained here. And he was like, for the whole set, it would be like 30 grand. I was like, whoa, guy, I can't do that. Like, even one dog I couldn't afford. He's like, "What if I give you half off on one dog? $5,000. I was like, "Listen, maybe." He's like, "Yeah, half of that. 2,500. Let's make you a customer." It was really good.
He sold you.
I was like, "Oh man, just like, why are you like trying to give this away?" Like, and he's like, "Well, listen, we have like two other warehouses, and they all need to like, come in here. We need to make room." And I was like, "Okay, 2,500 is like, yeah." So I got it a lot off, and Dash has been with me literally since I started my first company, and just reminds me of my struggle.
That's awesome.
He's a good luck. He's a good luck charm at this point, I think.
Yes, yeah. Indeed, especially in YouTube videos. So the next question: who is a better singer, Tech Ops or you?
I probably Tech Ops.
That's what he said.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't have I have like not a great voice at all, but I do have after a couple of Long Islands, I karaoke. Yeah. I
don't yep.
But I just
everyone sounds best.
Yeah, I did it a couple times, and people are just like, "I love it. They love meowing. They love all that." So I was like, "All right, I'll keep doing it."
So Randy, how much money would we have to raise? And it could be for you, it could be for charity, to get a tattoo on one of your biceps that says "Mom" with a heart. Ooh. And the arrow going through it.
Mom, I have a tattoo on this one already, but on the I don't know. if people are getting the real Randy Chavez tattooed on them, I don't know if y'all saw that.
I heard about that.
Yeah, one guy got it on his wrist, another guy is gonna get it. I'm not sure where, but it's going to have my logo on it.
Randy, one piece of advice. Yeah. Do not give people your address.
No, even with, that's why I don't even have like a PO box. Cause like, I feel like my, I don't know if it's a military thing or just paranoid mind. Like, okay, well, what you do if you want to follow someone, they have to check their mail eventually. Go to the PO box, follow them home from there. So I send it to my friend Tyler, and anyone that wants to send me stuff. I give him his address, and he's got more guns than I do, so I was like, okay, well.
Yeah. Well, that's always a plus.
So, yeah, no. Again, the question, how much money to get that tattoo on you?
A mom with a arrow.
With a heart and an arrow.
Classic.
I would, see, the issue, if you would have asked me this a year ago, I would have been like, I don't know, $500. But now I would say, if someone gave me $5,000, I would donate half of that to charity, and then I would get that.
So $5,000, that's not bad.
So what about $5,000 worth of E2 tiles?
I would, if that offer still stood after the phase 2 had come out, and I could see what resources I'm getting, then quite possibly, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry, we don't have $5,000 ready to go for this, but we'll note this just in case in the future.
I could throw Caesar's Palace at him, but I don't want to see that tattoo that much.
More of a fun question.
All right, so let's talk about the number 4. This will be one near and dear to your heart. Should Earth 2 release NFT offerings to stimulate the market, or is it too early?
I mean, they've... they haven't done it to stimulate the market, but they have those for the Easter egg hunt. And I told anyone, listen, I'll give you an extra $100, $200, you know, however much it is. Nobody that has one has caught up with it yet. But they've all gotten paid, to my understanding.
Yeah, but no actual NFTs yet.
Yeah, no NFTs yet. I would be the first on board to buy those, because they're non-fungible tokens. They're completely unique, and that's a piece of history in what I believe is going to be one of the biggest games, you know, of the decade.
Right.
Yeah,
this is not one of the 10 questions, but it's something that Kenny and I have talked about a bunch, and I just want to ask you. We both think that if they make tiles NFTs, it's a mistake, because it eliminates the scarcity. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So the next question is, we know there's going to be a mobile app, but do you think that the mobile app, do you think that it'll be like an E2, like AR app, kind of like Pokemon Go?
I hope so. I hope eventually they have something like that, because that would be great. Saying like, okay, well, here's in AR, you're in this location. Let's see what people are building here. And you know, if there's nothing there, then okay, we'll buy a tile there and
make
and
something.
Yeah,
I hope so too. I think that makes the most logical sense for the AR side of things.
Yeah.
All right, Randy, I've got a bit of a fun one here. So, as an early retiree, mm-hmm. are you already looking into timeshares and taking advantage of the early bird special at your local diner?
The timeshares, me and Aria Realty are actually going to do, I'm coming out of retirement for a realty company next year.
Oh, really? That's exciting.
So it's one of those things where for the most part, he's just using my capital, because he's got like 850 credit. It's ridiculous.
we all love that.
we can both get the VA home loan, so we can get, he lives in one triplex or duplex, I'll live in another triplex or duplex, we'll rent more than half of it out, and then we'll have, you know, some of my capital to either make the payments while we are getting clients or while we're getting renters, or any repairs that happen there. So we're very excited about that, but no time shares.
So this is the Earth One real estate company. Are you going to try to tie it into Earth Two?
Sorry about that. Can you repeat that? I had a phone call.
Yeah, that's okay. So this is the Earth One real estate company. Are you going to try to tie it into Earth Two?
That probably not. I will probably do a real estate company, or I'll do something with real estate, rent out a bunch of my tiles in Earth 2. There's talk about, there has been talk, I don't want to give it away in case we're not there yet, renting out a large portion of my tiles in Chavestopia for settle scores. I'll leave it at that. And outside of that, if anyone wants to come in and say like, hey, we like what you've done with the place, we want to use this for Zoom meetings or work meetings or what have you, then yeah, I'll do that all day.
Okay. So question number 787. Mm-hmm. If someone dognapped Dashy, how much would you pay in ransom?
I wouldn't pay in ransom. I would, however, there's got to be an angle. I mean, again, cameras around the place, lights, plates. Let's say the ransom was $3,000 or $5,000. I would pay quadruple that just to have me or another PI say, okay, where's the location? Just to take that, just so I could go in guns a-blazing and take Dashy back. So
I like that. I like that.
We do not negotiate with terrorists.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty petty like that.
All right, so next question is, what do you think is the most valuable property in the entire game is?
Right now, I would say, I guess there's two ways to answer that question, because you've had, you know, per tile, where I think, like 1,500 a tile for the four tiles that have that Jesus statue in Rio de Janeiro. I know some tiles in the Vatican have sold for several, if not tens of thousands. But I think right now there's a negotiation between one of my Patreon members and someone else for the Pyramids of Giza for like 50,000.
Wow. To me, it's the White House. I think the White House would go for more than 50,000.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I wonder how many tiles that makes up.
I've looked at it before. I don't remember.
I think it was like
500.
Nine.
Yeah, it's a good chunk.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a lot. So, I mean,
there's a lot of good properties out there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, by
I think it's hard to pick just one.
Yeah, I mean, just think of 25,000 just for the new tile value, or even close to 30,000 because it's almost $60 a tile and 500 tiles. So yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. Just on new tile value.
Well,
I mean,
Kang,
you said
Kang
it really
had,
well.
Kang had a good question. Yeah, great setup for this.
Yeah, exactly, because you said you can only choose one. It's hard to choose one. So on that topic, Randy, you've got a great profile. But let's say somebody offers you $1 billion. You've got to liquidate everything except for one property. What's the one property you're keeping?
Mm. Ooh, that's a good one. I would say the southernmost tip of Chavez-topia. I have a 750 tile property around there. I would just take that $1 million or take like a quarter of it and just remake Chavez-topia.
Yeah.
Reinvest.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I like that. All right, last question. What would cause you to sell all your tiles on Earth 2?
Somebody offered me, I think it was 100,000 for my profile, and I was like, I can't. Just because there's some of those tiles that I'll never get again, at least definitely not for that price. And I could, if it would be, the question was how much would they have to offer?
No, what would cause you?
Oh, what would cause me to, it would have to be a sale where I can get a lot of those tiles back, or not even those tiles, just a lot of class one tiles.
Is there like a right? Is there like like an emergency in your family? Would that be enough to incentive to do it?
Oh
no,
geez, it's getting dark.
Yeah,
I don't have a need for that. I mean, I'm covered for the most part.
Right, I gotcha.
But yeah, I would maybe $250,000 because then I could probably re-get all those tiles, or at least something similar close to them.
Right, okay. Get a decent portfolio back.
Right. All right, yeah. Snoke, give us your little pitch on your poll there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll post a link in the show notes, but it's a poll for an Earth 2 Community Summit. It's an in-person Earth 2 Community Summit, and there's a couple cities to choose from. You don't have to give out any information about yourself. It's just kind of get an idea of who would actually want to go, where would it be, when would it be, and if you would want to be a sponsor of it. So we'll make sure to post that in the show notes. If you can, make sure you click on that form and fill out that form for us. That'd be awesome. Thank you.
So the only question I have, Randy, is if you come to the summit, are you bringing Dashy with you?
Dashy's got to protect the house.
That's a liability.
Yeah, and that looks like something that might be a little hard to lug around.
Right.
That's a serious piece of artwork.
I know some people there's a thing called Eternal Con in Long Island where these guys, I don't know if you ever watched the show Supernatural.
I've heard of it, yeah.
They cosplayed as the two main characters, and they brought their car. They bought a 67 Chevy Impala, which is a car from the show. And if I were ever, let's say, if I get really huge on YouTube or when Earth 2 blows up, and as a consequence of that, I become really huge, and I get invited to maybe a Comic-Con or something like that, or an Earth 2 con, then yeah, I might bring Dashy at that point. Keep it a pet.
All right, Randy. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show today. Any last thoughts? Anything you want to promote?
Just my channel, and definitely what everything that I say, it's just what I am doing, what I would do, and feel free to come on all my live streams. It's just a normal content for 8 to 10 minutes, and then I spend like an hour or so answering everyone's questions. So it's an AMA pretty much every day.
Okay. And we'll for sure link your show and we'll link your channel in the show notes. So again, thank you. Snoke, anything to add?
Nothing to hear.
All right, Kangy?
No, just really grateful that Randy joined us today and excited to see what he's got next.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for having me on. This is fun. We'll do it again.
Oh, absolutely. We like to bring on repeat guests and we'll definitely have you on again. So that has been all for the My Name is Human Earth2.io podcast brought to you by MyNameIsHumanPod.com. Hazy out.
Thank you.
Snoke out.
Bye, Dashy.
Bye, Dashy.
All right, bye, guys. Bye.
off your knees, girl.
Get up.
Stand face to face with your God.
Your God.
And find out what you are. Hello, my name is Human. Hello, my name is Human. And I came down from the stars. Hello, my name is Human.